Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. 418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Well, glory to God, glory to God. Welcome, 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 everyone. God has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Welcome once again. This is your host, Apostle Barbara Kizzy, and let's open up with a word of prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you that this is the day. Once again, this is the day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. And we thank you for your presence here today. Hallelujah. Your word says that if two or more, hallelujah, are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst, and we thank you for being in the midst today, Lord. This has just been an awesome day, and you have just touched in such a awesome way today, and so we bless your name. We thank you for being here with us, even right now, Lord God, and we're in a high state of expectation that you're going to do, hallelujah, things that we have not even thought of, hallelujah, that our minds could not even conceive, Lord, hallelujah, and we bless you for it, Lord God, hallelujah. You are altogether lovely. Lord, we continue to dedicate this broadcast to you, knowing that Only you can make it meaningful. Hallelujah. It's you that bring meaning to every part of this broadcast. And so we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Not only do you bring meaning to it, but there's something eternal that you are doing in this that will not only last from the time that we hear it, but even as we go into eternity. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Lord God. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord. Move by your spirit, and we'll all be happy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, thank you all for coming on today. I'm always excited about this. We are now in our evangelism boot camp, and this is part 4. Hallelujah, of evangelism boot camp. I feel like I want to hear a little cheer on the side over that and a praise. A praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I have entitled this one, You Need a Heart and a Mouth. Hallelujah. And probably most of you know what I mean by saying you need a heart and a mouth. Hallelujah. So this evangelism boot camp, the Lord laid it on our hearts, and he gave a word in the beginning of this, and he said, you know, the coronavirus, you know, is a wake-up call. The coronavirus has turned our world upside down. You know, now it's trying to turn around again and try to get back to what we're calling the new normal. But everything has been shaken upside down, and I just kind of even got a visual that the church is like, you know, like if you had a piggy bank and you turn the piggy bank over trying to get all the change out of it, literally, and pun intended, getting the change out. And so it's like the church has been turned over to get all of the change out so that the change can happen. Hallelujah. And so for a good while, for over a month, there was no church services where people can actually get together and have these big church services. Maybe a few people were there. We were doing social distancing and doing social media, you know, conference calls, Zoom, all of that. But the church was shaken up and shaken out. And you know, and I believe that what's going on with that is that the Lord is sending the laborers into the harvest. And so this coronavirus that we've gone through or still going through is a wake-up call for us to be on ready. And I was saying not to just be ready. It's good to be ready, but to be on ready. And on ready is that, you know, like if you're running a race and they shoot the gun or whatever sound that they make to cause the race to start, we must be on ready. Not trying to get our feet, you know, when they the track guys, the Olympic track team, you know, you're not trying to get your feet in the block and getting ready to go, but you have to be on ready. Feet on the block, mind already set, everything pointed, getting, you know, you're ready, you're on ready. And being on ready is just being on ready for whatever God is doing, you know, whenever he is doing it. If he is having you to do something you've never done, never even thought about doing, be on ready, you know, to do that. People right now need Jesus. We always needed Jesus, hallelujah. But, you know, even now things are going on. Over 30 million people are on unemployment. Some of them are getting some money right now. Some of them are not. Some things have not showed up the way they're going to show up in the future. And what I found out more than and pretty consistently is that when there's a big change in our lives, and someone dies, and there's a lot of that going on right now, jobs changing, you know, even having a baby or something like that, people's hearts are open wide. They are open. You know, it's hard for people to even hide feelings and all that when so many things are going on. So people's hearts are open, and the Lord is ready to go into those open hearts who need some help. Hallelujah. And so Jesus talked about pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest. Hallelujah. Because the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And so we've been turned upside down. We've been shaken out of the church so that the laborers can come out of the house and be able to minister. And even if that ministry was to our families, you know, because most of us have been around our families for more time, concentrated time, than maybe we have been for a long time, you know, because people are not working the way that they were working before. Some, praise the Lord, are working from home, but they're still in proximity to their families. And even as far as evangelism is concerned and leading people to Christ, that starts at home. You know, he said, begin in Jerusalem. You know, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. So evangelism, leading people to Christ, was always meant to start right where you are. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So with this evangelism book, we wanted to make it simple, and because really, when I really learned about evangelism, when I really got evangelism, you know, into my heart, into my spirit, began to walk everything out, the Lord talked to me and he said, it's got to be simple, you know. And I was like, this is really simple. Yeah, because God works with simplicity, and then it becomes complex, but it starts very simply. Hallelujah. And if we can get it simply, then the Lord can add. He can add more to it. You know, the Bible says line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So if we can get these four things that God wants you to know, this is a foundation. You know, and it could be other scriptures that are your foundation for this, but here are four things that that we should all know, have under our belt, in our belly, you know, and just meditate on these. And these four scriptures, you can meditate on these really basically for the rest of your life, and God will, you know, give you so much out of it. People talked about Billy Graham. You know, of course, there were many, many people who had a lot of respect for Billy Graham. And still the people who had respect for him, sometimes you'd hear stuff like, that's all Billy Graham preaches about. He only preaches about salvation. That's the only thing. Well, he did preach about other things, so I've listened to him, but, you know, some of his recordings. But the main thing, he made the main thing, you know. And basically, if people could be caught, my sister, Pastor Price, so I've heard her say this many times, you cannot clean a fish until you catch it. So Billy Graham, and I keep thinking Benny Hinn in my head, but from Billy Graham, so many fish were caught. You know, so many people got saved. And that's why he always worked with the churches so that the churches could take them into the church and help them become disciples and to train them up. Hallelujah. So let's talk about these four things God wants you to know. Number one, you need to be saved. You, me, I mean, I'm probably pretty sure that the ones who are listening right now are saved. Well, there was a time you needed to be saved, and me too. You know, nobody's left out of this. Everybody needs to be saved. I saw this T-shirt at the Walmart, and it said, "You need Jesus." You know, I bought it. Just to have it, you know. But it says, "You need Jesus." So, yes, we all need to be saved. And Romans 3 and 23 says it so succinctly, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." So that doesn't leave out anybody. All have sinned. No matter what kind of title we have before our names, what kind of alphabet soup we have after our names, all need to be saved, no matter how rich, how poor, how young, how old. I've seen someone that I minister to. He's been a deacon or a trustee at his church, very well known in his denomination, has been to church for many, many years. Just a wonderful man of God. And we were someplace, and, you know, the way the Lord has led me to do is to not just say, if you want to be saved, raise your hand. If you want to be saved, come on up. But I just, the way I've been taught is let everyone pray the salvation. Either they're praying it for the first time or they're being trained to be able to pray that with other people. So I usually have everyone pray the prayer of salvation. Well, I asked the question. I said, how many of you have prayed that prayer for the first time? You never prayed a prayer like this. Well, the trustee, the deacon who has been there for years and years and years, I mean, the man was in his late 80s, maybe early 90s. And he said he had never prayed a prayer like that before. And I said, well, glory to God. Glory to God. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, so young sin, if they do not become saved, becomes old sin. That's how that works. And it only changes when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we all need to be saved. Nobody's higher. Nobody's lower. There's no big I's or little U's. Everybody needs to be saved. Number two, you can't save yourself. And just even think of it this way, if someone were drowning, they're in the ocean and they are in the water and they are drowning. Usually a drowning person is flailing. And because there's fear going on with it, they get disoriented, you know, and they cannot save themselves. And a lifeguard or someone who knows what they're doing, they throw out this thing that looks like a donut called a lifesaver. You know, it looks like the candy, the lifesaver. And that goes around over their head and helps them to be safe, you know, from drowning. So just like a drowning person cannot save themselves, a person who is in sin cannot save themselves, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "By grace are you saved? Through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift. Say that again. It is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the grace of God, we are saved by the grace of God. The grace of God is his unmerited favor, where he gives us this grace to be saved, and we didn't even earn it. We didn't do anything to make it happen. Now, there's a lot of religions that believe that you have to work it up, and you have to, you know, do certain things, say certain things, be a certain way. Some may even think you have to dress a certain way, wear your hair a certain way. Don't do this, don't do that, and you can be saved. But Ephesians, the word of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, by grace, you don't have to do anything. This is God's unmerited favor through faith and not of yourselves. And so we lay hold to that grace by faith because we can't see it. We can't see it. Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we lay hold to this unseen salvation with unseen faith. Hallelujah. By unseen grace, we have this unseen faith, and we grab a hold of this gift from God. Hallelujah. And just like the wind cannot be seen, hallelujah, but the wind can be felt, and you know that the wind is moving, and because you can feel it moving, even though you can't see it, we lay hold to this gift called salvation by faith. So the unseen has to deal with the unseen. Hallelujah. And then we lay hold to the word of God. He's given us something that we can see, and that is the word. Hallelujah. So it's not any work. So nobody can put their chest out and said, I earned my salvation. Shucks, y'all know what I did. I earned my salvation. No. You didn't earn it. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. I think about the scripture that says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So the wages, you know, people have to work hard with sin, even though it doesn't seem like it, but yeah, sin is really hard work compared to receiving the grace of God. Hallelujah. So that was number two. You can't save yourself. And then number three, God, ta-da, God has provided for your salvation. Hallelujah. He didn't just leave us out there and say, hey, you need to be saved. And guess what? You can't save yourself and then walk away. He didn't do that. Thank you, Jesus. God has provided for your salvation. He's made a way for salvation. Hallelujah. Where there didn't even seem to be a way. We couldn't work it up. We couldn't make it happen. Just drowning in sin, not even knowing how to get out. You know, I can just think of things that I was bound to. You know, thank God he's delivered me. Thank God he's delivered you. Things that we couldn't even get away from. It looked like we were bound and confined to those things forever. But praise God, he got us out of it. And the same, it's the same way with salvation. Hallelujah. And deliverance is a part of our salvation. It's a package. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God has provided for your salvation. John 3:16. If you know it right where you're sitting, even though we can't, I can't hear you right now. Go ahead, let's say John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard this young man preach years ago, and I just always stood out to me. And it's like, okay, God gave his only begotten Son to die for you, just in case you decided to receive him as your Lord and Savior. That's a, you know, just in case. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he so loved the world. And I think, you know, I might have changed it. I thank God I'm not God. Thank God he's God. But it seemed like you would so love something or somebody that would love you that you knew was going to love you back. You know, but he's given us a choice. Thank God. He's given us a choice. We're not little robots that he's programmed to do certain things. Love has to be a choice. And he made the choice to love us first so that we could love him. Hallelujah. Because he loved us first, that we have the capacity of being able to love him. And we make the choice to love him. Hallelujah. It is a choice. It's a choice to receive that gift of love. One of the first times that I preached a sermon called All This Love Is Waiting for You. And there was a song that I really, a secular song that I really, really liked when I was out there, you know, and it, this guy, El DeBarge, to be married to Janet Jackson, and he has this high voice. I don't even know if I could call it tenor, but almost soprano kind of voice, but this high voice, and the words were, all this love is waiting for you. And that's what I think about when I think about this. For God so loved the world, all this love is waiting. This is not some namby-pamby love. This is not some what's love got to do with it. You know, as Tina Turner said, you know, a secondary emotion. That's not that kind of love. This is an everlasting love. Hallelujah. That's waiting for you. You know, and that was all set up even before the foundation of the earth was laid. Hallelujah. That he would so love the world and give his only begotten Son, that whosoever, all of the whosoevers that are part of the all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. All of this love is waiting. God is such a gentleman that he won't make us love him. He could easily, but he gives the choice. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So God has provided for our salvation. And he's provided with love. Hallelujah. It could have been, hey, if you don't believe in Jesus, and it might be heated 7 times hotter, if you don't bow down, and some of the kings used to do in the Old Testament. We're going to play this song right here. When you hear the song going, get down and worship and bow down. He didn't do that. He loved, he gave, he bled, he died, he rose for us. Thank you, Jesus. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. Hallelujah. In our fourth part tonight, number four of the four things God wants you to know, your part, how to receive Jesus. How to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 10:9, and you can go to 10 if you'd like to as well, and even before and after it. But the main verse is Romans 10:9, and you can say it with me if you know it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. You shall be saved. It's no doubt. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So now all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we need to receive Jesus is a mouth and a heart. Hallelujah. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So there's a lot of people that believe that you need more than a heart and a mouth, that you have to do so many different things. You know, maybe different works, like we were saying. That it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, he's given us a heart and a mouth. And unless someone has been disfigured in some way, they have a mouth. And in order to live, you need a heart. Hallelujah. And more than even the physical heart, he's talking about the spiritual heart. The heart of us that makes a decision, because the heart has to decide. You know, within us, there has to be a decision made. Now, Jesus was here over 2,000 years ago. None of us has seen him. We have to believe the word of God. We have to make a choice to believe that the word of God is what it says that it is. And when we believe, hallelujah, we make that choice, and we believe, it changes our whole life. It goes, what our heart says out of our mouth really translates us from the things of the world to the things of the spirit. Hallelujah. It becomes a spiritual thing, transcending everything around us when we make a decision. If we knew how very important our beliefs are, our decisions are, if we knew the importance of it, it is so important, you know, for us to make a decision. That this is what God has given us. He's given us the opportunity to make a decision. When we go back into the garden, everything was hunky-dory. Everything was cool. You know, here Adam was. He was naming all the animals, eating whatever he wanted to eat, whatever popped up, he'd eat it. you know, he was just here. Everything was cool. And then the Lord gave him the help me, gave him Eve. And so they're just bouncing around. Everything's cool. They're in the garden. They meet the Lord in the cool of the evening and all of that. And then the Lord set up something for them to have to make a decision, to make a choice. He set that up because they had to make a choice. And the choice was to be obedient to God and do this one thing. He said, you can have everything here. Just don't mess with that over there. Just don't touch that over there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't mess with that. If you mess with it, it's going to be some problem. There's consequences to that. Don't mess with it. Okay? Eat everything else. Do everything. Go ahead. And that was the thing. As they say in Shakespeare, that was the rub. So, but the choice had to be made. And even now, many thousands of years later, we have a choice. Choice is precious. And just like the enemy did back in the Garden of Eden, he tried to confuse the choice. And he caused the choice to be confused and then the choice to be made that would help the enemy and that would turn things around in the world and give the enemy some authority that he was not supposed to have. And we, most of us would probably look at that and say, hey, I would have made the right choice. I wouldn't have messed with that tree. I would have ate the other stuff in the garden. I would have done that. We have the same kind of choice right now. It's just that now it's technology. You know, now it's social media. Now it's things that are moving fast. You know, television, all kinds of stuff that's going on now. So we have a choice. Hallelujah. And our choice is very important, and the enemy is still vying for our choice. And the Lord is still waiting for us to make the right choice. Hallelujah. So for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we all need a heart and a mouth to confess, and that's saying a prayer. If you confess with your mouth, and that's saying a prayer, speaking it out of your mouth, that the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and then believe in your heart, making that choice. Because out of the choice, out of the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you make a decision in your heart, your mouth is going to say it. It really is. You know, even if it's a bad choice, after it rolls around in your heart for a while, it comes out. Even when you don't want it to come out, it comes out. So we make a choice in our heart to believe what the Word of God says, and then speak it out of our mouth. Suddenly, what was in our heart, what came out of our mouth, becomes the spiritual vehicle to walk through that grace, receive the gift of God, and suddenly we come from that road heading for hell and being able to perish, and we head for the everlasting, we're on the everlasting road. Hallelujah, being saved. And that prayer is not a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It's a short prayer. Hallelujah. But it's a significant. It's a matter of life and death. I'll rephrase that. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. And when everything comes down to it, it's really what matters individually. And once we are saved, life changes. Now, I'm going to say something that, you know, there's controversy, and I've gone into a lot of, not a lot of controversy, but I've gone into controversy over this, and I'm just going to say it the way that I believe it. And in our short time here, time does not permit for me to go through and prove this to you with scripture, and so I'll leave that to you to do it. But I do believe that once we are saved, once we are born again, that we are in the hand of God and that nothing can take us away from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I totally believe, according to the word of God, that we have eternal security and that we are saved. Now, does that make us do everything perfectly once we're saved? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But we are saved. Hallelujah. And, I mean, the way I look at it is, why would Jesus die on the cross once and for all? And we don't have priests going into the temple once a year for atonement for us. Jesus is the atonement. And if people really believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, then they are saved according to the word of God. And nothing can take us out hand of God. Neither life nor death nor things past nor things to come nor angels nor... You know, I'm not reading from the scripture right now, but that's in Romans 8, near the end of Romans 8. Hallelujah. And so we are saved. Now, we're in a place of sanctification, and I'm going someplace now, but I'm going to go quickly and so we can be able to open up the lines in a little bit. But... Hallelujah. There, when we are saved, there's basically three parts of salvation. And when we are saved, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to think of, oh, thank you, Jesus. What happens is we are justified. Justified, the basically means it's just like nothing ever happened. You know, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we are saved, at that moment, we are justified in the eyes of Almighty God, just as if nothing has ever happened. We get a clean slate, just clean, justified. And then we go into a process of sanctification. Sanctification is... The things that are going on in our lives are character that needs to be changed and conformed to his character. Sanctification basically is, this is how the Lord has shown me this. It's like sanctification turns us back, turning away of sin. And at the same time, there's a turning to God. So that during the sanctification process, our back is to sin. And our faith is to God. So we're turning away from the things of the world, and we're turning to God. Another way to say that, separating ourselves from the things of the world and separating ourselves to God. Hallelujah. And that's a process. Everything is not done right at the moment that you are saved, but you go through this process. And we praise God that if you got saved 10 years ago, that there's some sin that you're just not doing anymore. And it's not something that you have to do by yourself. This is God who walks with us and who is God in us. There's a lot to this. I'm making it very simple. Okay. So sanctification is you stay in God's face. You walk with God. You walk by faith and not by sight. And you are going to change. And day by day, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, all of that, the very nature of God, begins to rise up on the inside of you, and that is what happens during the sanctification process. And that process goes on all of our lives. Hallelujah. And then the last part of our salvation is glorification. When we get out of these bodies and leave the earth to be absent from the body and being present with the Lord, when we are with him, then we go into glorification. Hallelujah. In everything, we're no longer being sanctified. We are glorified. Hallelujah. That's when the party is really on right there. But we can have some glimpses of the true party down here and experience parts of the glorification during our sanctification process. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. And that is our salvation. There's a lot to that, so let the Lord lead you about even studying on that even some more. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. So I want to pray the prayer of salvation, and then I want to talk to you about our treasure hunt, our treasure. We put together a treasure map last week. Maybe I'll talk about that first and then go to the prayer of salvation. Then we'll open the line. We talked about putting together a treasure map. So in case some people were not on the line last time, put together a treasure map. And I'm going to tell you what's on the treasure map. Hopefully you can write it down. Those of you who wrote it down, that happened with you, because something happened with me. Okay. So let me tell you what was on our treasure map. So we put together a treasure map. And I got this out of a book. Let me tell you, I got this out of a book called The Ultimate Treasure Hunt. And in this book, it has a treasure map. Tells you basically how to find a treasure, how to find a treasure in the Lord. And I have used this on, I'll say, many occasions to go out with a group to go evangelizing. It's an excellent evangelism tool. It's also just an excellent tool to go out and pray for people. So what we wrote down last week to put our treasure map together, we have five categories. So we wrote down the location, about five locations. And what we did was you were not to think about this too much, just because this is really words of knowledge from the Lord. So whatever the Lord would drop into your spirit, just very quickly, without thinking about it, just write it down. So a location. Like a sign, hallelujah, a sign, a bench, or like a Target, like a Walmart, or something like that. So write down those locations. And then we wrote down category number two, a person's name. So we wrote down about whatever name dropped into our spirit, we just wrote it down, about five or six names. And then a person's appearance, like the color of a specific article of clothing, the color of their hair, you know, something like that. We wrote that down. And then category number four was, what might the person need prayer for? If they have a knee brace on, they have a cane, they may have a kidney problem or tumor or something like that. Write about five or six of those things down. Problems in their marriage, something like that. And then the last category was to write down something unusual. That might be like a lollipop or a windmill, something, a lime green door, dolphins, something like that, and just write that down. So those who were on the line for the past two or three weeks, we wrote that on that down somewhere. Now, and then last week, I was telling people about it and saying, you wrote that down, began to look for those things, and that they would pop up somewhere. Hallelujah. Well, and you don't even have to, like, really think about it or be, you know, because I wasn't really thinking about it until the Lord reminded me about it. But some of the things that I wrote down, and to make this shorter, I'm going to go right to what happened to me. I wrote down person's appearance. And under my person's appearance was red hair, red pants. I'm into red lately, okay? Red, white, and blue shoes, feathers, top hat, tuxedo. So I wrote all those things down. And this weekend I was at a grocery store. Here in St. Louis, we have a grocery store called Snook's. And so I went there to get some cake for Memorial Day. And so my sister, I volunteered. I said, I'll go to the store because I was going to her house to get the barbecue. So why not go to the store? So I went to the store, and I was supposed to get a lemon cake and some vanilla ice cream. So before I got in the store, I noticed a lady with a short red afro. I remember sitting in the car, and I watched her walk past the car. And but didn't, you know, nothing clicked with that. And so when I got in the store, I'm looking at the cake and trying to decide which cake I wanted to get. And she walked over to me and said, any cake that you choose is going to be a good cake. All these cakes are slamming. They are good cakes. I said, I'm looking for a lemon cake. Oh, any lemon cake you get is going to be good. This one or that one, they're both good. I'm like, okay. And if you want a strawberry one, there's a good one over there, you know. And so she's just a-talking. She's a young woman. I think she's probably maybe in her 30s or something. And so I picked out my cake, and she's like, you're going to like this cake. And I was like, thank you. Thank you so much, you know. So we kind of talked and laughed for a few moments. As she walked away, the Lord was like, ding, ding, ding. He didn't say ding, 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 but it was like red hair, red hair. So I took out my phone, and I had put it in my, I have a Yahoo Mail account, so I had put it as a draft, you know, in there, and looked it up and found the red hair, and I went over to her. I said, excuse me, and I don't even know if we had exchanged names at that point, but I said, you know, excuse me. I said, you know what, last Thursday, we were, you know, I tried to explain to her, like, real quick what was going on. And I finally got to the place where I said, and we believe that you're the treasure. I believe you're the treasure because, here, I've written this down about red hair. Look at this. And she looked at it, and she went, oh, red hair. So I said, first of all, let me just, you are the treasure. What do you need prayer for? So she's like, oh, I need prayer. And so I said, let's step to the side. So we stepped over by the green peppers and started talking, both of us with our masks on and everything. And we're talking. So we had an opportunity to pray with her. And after we finished praying about what was going on in her life, I asked her about, you know, salvation and her relationship with Jesus. And she said that she was saved, but she hasn't gone to church in a long time. And not just because of COVID-19, but, you know. And I said, well, would you like to rededicate your life to the Lord? And she said, yes, I'd like to do that. And that's what we did. So she prayed the prayer of salvation, rededicated her life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So God is doing things. And so with this treasure map that you have, you know, kind of look back at it every now and then, because God is going to bring the treasure to you. Hallelujah. And then as he prompts in your spirit, you know, what you've placed on that list. So go back periodically every now and then and look at that list. You know, under names, wow, that's funny. I'm looking at one of the names was Kathy. And this lady named Kathy, she's saved, but I haven't talked to her in a long time, and she called me today. So that's interesting. So anyway, go back periodically and look at it and just even pray over it and ask God to show you the treasure, bring the treasure to you, put you where the treasure is. And then be on ready. Be ready to pray with them. You know, ask, say, look, I see, you know, we were talking about finding treasure. This is on the list. So I believe that you're the treasure. Look at what was written down before I even met you, before I even saw you today. And then, you know, let the anointing will begin to move. And you can minister to that person. Step out boldly and just minister to them. We are the laborers who are out there now. You know, so even with a mask on, even with social distancing, God still needs for people to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll pray the prayer of salvation now. Hallelujah. So just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and God raised you from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your ways and help me to follow you. And now I know, say, I'm born again and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for sealing them. Each and every person that prayed that prayer, whether it was prayed tonight or even sometime in the future, in 2050, whenever, hallelujah, You prayed that prayer. We thank you, Lord God, that they are saved. They are born again. Heaven is their home in the name of Jesus. Now, we thank you for just touching them, filling them with your Holy Spirit and with power, even right now, in the name of Jesus. And we bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Really, Lord, show them your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cause them to be in a church, a Bible-believing church, and around Christians who really love you with all their heart and follow your word and follow your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we're ready to open up the lines now. If one of your treasures showed up, press your number one key and give us a testimony of the treasure that you met someone that was on your list. Hallelujah. Amen. And any other comments, questions, any prayer requests that you may have, any prophecy requests, press your number one key. This is the end of our evangelism boot camp, and you have made it. Hallelujah. You have passed boot camp.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, for those of you who have been listening today, we just heard a previously recorded broadcast. The first time we did that was back in May of 2020, and it's still good, even today. Glory to God. Well, today is October the 28th, 2021. So we're back live again after listening. And I personally got blessed all over again. Amen. So if you press your number one key, and I see someone has done that already. Hello, Evangelist Janie. And so anyone can press your number one key. We're going to open a line for Pastor Mom first. I hope all is well. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Catherine. And so we're going to open a line for Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine, and then we'll begin to open the line for others. So thank you all so much. It was so great to see all of you. It's like some of you may or may not know that I did spend some time away. I've been, resting in the Lord and letting him just do what he's doing. Been having just a wonderful time with God. And so now I'm back. Hallelujah. So let me open a line for Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine. Praise God. Welcome, Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. I heard you coughing, Pastor Mom. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to hear anything?
Yes, I heard everything. And it was very nice. And thank you all for the good things you said.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Mom. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Well, praise God. Praise God. You got us right on time here because I'm going to give her treatment here. But I have really enjoyed everything tonight, and I thought about that the last time you did the message. But anyway, that was so good when you said God gives us a choice. He's so great.
Yeah.
He's so good. He gives us a choice, and he's just waiting for us. He won't make us do anything, but he give us
yeah.
that choice. That was just so good how you articulated that tonight. So I just want to say thank you so much. That was really good. But I have stopped kind of Here lately, I've kind of stopped writing some things down, but I'm going to start writing mine down again. But right now, I just kind of have some things in my head, and I probably need to share it with the other person when I see them. But anyway, my cue now is I said to myself, I have it in my head, and I've written down so I can let the person know that who I'm going to pray for. I don't let them know. But I just go in and do it. But my cue is that when someone passed me or when someone passed me and if it's in a store or something, I will, if they begin to talk to me, they say hi, if they look, any eye contact or anything, that's my cue. And also, when I get also at my church, if I'm getting out of the car, many times I'll park in the overflow parking lot, and if I get out of my car and I'm beginning to walk over to the other side where the church is, if I see someone passing by, that's my cue to ask them for prayer.
All right.
And right now, I started asking them for prayer, but I don't go into asking them anything else, and I don't pray for them at all. What I begin to do, I just begin to say, can you pray with me? That's the first thing we do. I don't even ask, are you saved or anything? I just go on. If you're saved, there's no, it won't hurt you to say it to pray it again. I just say, let's pray. Let's pray together. And when I pray for them, I know they're already saved. I believe that they're saved. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. And you just
amen. Me. And you know what? Oh, go ahead, Pastor Catherine.
No, I was just saying it's just a refreshing. So I just want to say thank you so much. It's been really good all this month.
Amen. Thank you. You know what I was thinking is that for a person to pray a prayer with you, that's a choice.
Yes, that is. That's good.
Right. Because this is what the Lord said to me one time. You know, when I lived in New Jersey, we had, you know, Atlantic City is where people go to gamble. And I remember just walking through the casino, and I could feel something just walking, not in the casino, but in the building where the casino was. And the Lord was telling me, you know what, when people walk through that door, they've made a choice. And at any time, they're fair game for the enemy. And so I was like, wow. And he said, now, but remember this. If a person steps their foot into a church, they're fair game for me. Mm-hmm. And they're fair game for salvation as well. Amen.
Amen.
So even the choice of walking into a place and even the choice of, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to say a prayer, say it with me, you know. So that's something. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Catherine. It made me think of other things. Glory to God. Amen. thank you for all your comments. And you too, Pastor Mom. Love you, Pastor Mom. And if someone else was here, I would say pray for Pastor Mom. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Pastor Mom to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that the very breath of God breathe through her lungs right now, through her entire respiratory system. We thank you, Lord God, that your breath is blowing through her right now. Everything that's not of you must leave her respiratory system. Any kind of mucus must leave her respiratory system. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we command you, hallelujah, to leave now and never to return in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that she's able to breathe well. Hallelujah. And we give you praise. We give you glory for it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one more thing. Devil, we see you in the act trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Every way you come at Pastor Mom, you must flee. Seven ways, repay sevenfold in all the substance of your household. And for every moment, every heartbeat, and every breath that you try to vex her respiratory system, and anybody else who's experiencing a problem, a respiratory problem, for every moment, every heartbeat, every breath that you come at them in any way, shape, or form, you lose the substance of your household, and you'll not have anything to barter with in hell. And, Lord God, we thank you right now for complete and total healing, health, and wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise
God. Amen. Love you, Pastor Mom. Love you, Pastor Catherine. Thank you all.
Love you, too.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Pressure number one key. We have Evangelist Janie. We have Pastor Price. If anyone else has their number one key pressed, text me because I don't see it. You know, sometimes our number one key is a little temperamental. Amen. Amen. So let's open the line for Evangelist Janie. Welcome, Evangelist.
Praise God. How are you doing? It sounds like you're doing great. I love the message. Even though it was pre-recorded, you know, that message is always on time.
Amen. Hallelujah. And you sound great.
Oh, I'm doing much better. I'm in week 5 of my healing, so praise God. I hope to drive next week.
Yay! Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just it's so nice
Are
to hear
ready?
Pastor Mom. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So nice. Okay. So nice to hear Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine. Love you, ladies, and definitely in agreement with that prayer. You know, say you have no legal right to Pastor Baum. You take your hands off of her, and we cancel all assignments trying to come against her, and that she will be healthy and whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have to talk soon. Amen. I mentioned your name yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I wanted to call in. Yeah, I wanted to call in, and I'm glad I got to the message tonight. But, you know, it is so true, everything you said, you know, that it's amazing that God gives us free will, you know, as his creation to choose whether or not, you know, we're going to accept his son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I mean, just amazing. And then we get to choose whether or not we're going to accept the spiritual gifts. Isn't that amazing? What would happen if he said, okay, you're going to choose my son Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and boom, here's those spiritual gifts, and we all hopped up and said, woohoo! You know, I mean, oh, can you imagine the changes that would happen in the world around us instead of us having to learn our authority? As Pastor Helen Price was talking about, you know, here we are, boom, he just nails us, and whoosh, we got it, and we go forward. I mean, we would shake the gates of hell more than we ever have, and, you know, the world would be changed, but that's not what he's done. You know, he's given us that free will, like you're saying, to choose whether or not we're going to just simply accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then everything else. It's just like anything else you choose, whether you're going to grow that relationship, go deeper into the relationship, get into that intimate place with him that when the Holy Spirit is speaking, you can hear, you can see. And I love the list. I would love the treasure list to be sent to me. I haven't been able to come on, but I love the treasure list, and I'd love to have that sent to me. I know you have my email. So if you would send me the treasure list, I will join you.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. And I wanted to say one of the times that I did it, we might have been doing something online as well, but when I did it, one of the names that was on the list was Stephanie.
And a few days after that, I did an Instacart for my groceries. And who shows up at the door but Stephanie? That was awesome. Stephanie was 7 months pregnant, and Stephanie needed prayer. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah, he is so real. When she said Stephanie, I went, whoa. So, yeah, absolutely, absolutely send that to you. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Well, I wanted to share, you were talking about evangelism. I know back in February, you know, I came on and we discussed the ministry and, you know, I did the show and I really, this was such a blessing. And I had spoke about how I had the tents on my heart. And so we have been taking the tents out. And this last weekend, now I couldn't go, but, you know, God set everything up. You know, I could do stuff from home and I got to watch via Facebook. But as the worship music, what we're doing is partnering with these churches. So I don't know if you know Bishop Holly or not, but Bishop Holly had done, he wanted to hand out food and he wanted to hand out clothing and gift cards.
Wow.
And I said, well, we don't loan our tents out. But what our tents are for is to come in with worship music, to have scripture and testimonies going out through the land while you're doing your outreach. And they said that people were standing. I'm still getting testimonies how people are standing on their porches, standing in the neighborhoods. And, you know, of course, we know this. Anytime we go to Christian concerts, people are listening to it like that. But one of the most powerful things is when we step into the land, you know, not only there were some people trying to interrupt it. I got one message was that people had their motorcycle in the street, revving it up, trying to mess up the sound. But praise God, don't you know he gave me a good sound system to put in these tents? Now, come on, we took the tents, we took the sound system. It was tearing it up. They said they could hear it over a block away. And then they couldn't drown the worship music out. And no, they couldn't scream, they couldn't rev their motorcycles. And so drug dealers in the area and different ones started coming to see what was going on. And, you know, that's how we reach people is when we say, you know what, the world is going, we're in a world that's fallen. So, life is happening. Hurt and destruction is around us. But you know what, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go on out there. We're going to evangelize with the love and joy of Jesus Christ, healing and power, resurrection power flowing through us. We're not going to have to smack anybody with our Bible. I'm not going to have to slap it in the head to get the Holy Ghost to touch them. All I need to do is love them, let God inhabit our worship, and let the word of God flow through the air and cut that air that, like a two-edged sword, cutting through, tearing down, you know, the wall, cutting through the soul and the soul and the spirit. And so it's just so powerful. But I just had to share because I love when you're talking about evangelism.
Yes. Thank you. And I know you're raring to get back out there again. Hallelujah. And it shall happen in Jesus.
Yes, in Jesus' name. So, well, God bless y'all, and thank you so much. And, yes, we will have to touch base soon.
Amen. Thank you so much. So good to hear from you.
Yes,
all right.
Love y'all.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. Amen.
Bye.
Hallelujah. Pastor Price, amen. And then we have Minister Rachel. After Pastor Price, anyone else, press your number one key. We want to hear from you.
Oh, thank you so much, Apostle Kizzy, and welcome back. I just thank God for this special evangelism boot camp, for the replay of it from last year. And it was really an answer to my prayers. I was an answer to my prayers. I really believe, Apostle, that God will even put desires of our heart, because we're co-laborers with him. When we're in a household, with my girls. I'm in the household with my daughters. And many times I don't have to ask them. They're now up and older now, and I don't have to ask them to do certain things where I'm concerned or even where the household is concerned. They'll go on and they get grocery, what needs to be done if they know we're out of special things in the household. And I remember I had in my spirit today about just making the example about a co-laborer. I had went in the kitchen to make some tea, and I saw that the honey that we had was just about out. And sometimes I like to drizzle a little honey over my carrots or something and then in my tea. But the honey was just about out. And so they had been out all day. The girls had been out all day. And they called me, and they said, we're going to the store, Mom, and is there anything you want? I said, you know what? There's something I want, but I cannot remember what it was. Give me a few minutes. After a few seconds, and so I could be able to try to remember what it was that I was going to ask him. And then Amber said, Mom, she said, is it honey? I said, yeah, girl, it's honey. So I said, to me, it was like we were in one accord. Well, that's what God wants us to be, in one accord with him. Because, you know, a lot of times we as human beings, you know, that cars or houses or other things, sometimes even clothing and good jobs or different things, are something that mean a lot to us. But we know that God will leave the 99 for just one soul. Souls are his treasures, as you said. Those are important. That's what's important to him. So when God began to deal, when God dealt with you about, I had already said, Lord, I'm going to go online now, and I'm going to go online, and I'm going to do some evangelism classes on YouTube. I'm going to find me, because you can find almost anything if you look for it hard enough on YouTube. I said, I'm going to go on there, and I'm going to take me, before I even knew that you were going to do your evangelism replay of your evangelism boot camp from last year, I said, I'm going to go online so I can build my faith and be prepared, because even in the world, when people are doing things and they're going to be in business or whatever it is, even if you're a dog owner, I believe that every dog owner should go and learn how to basically take care of a dog, especially if you've never been one, to take care of one. I believe that when my girls were driving, I believe that they should go to some classes and really be trained to be able to drive good. When Joy did, and she went through, and I told her, I said, it was required that she go to classes for driving. And when she did, the man told her he ought to give her an award when she took her driving test. He said, because she did so great. So whatever we're involved in, Apostle, I believe that we need to be trained. And not just one time. You know, we've been doing the boot camp and basic training in spiritual warfare. I did it 30 years ago, but I lost some of the things, because faith comes by not having heard. It comes by hearing on a continual basis. So I ended up having to be recycled by God because I suffered some loss. I suffered loss. Now, where this is coming up about where evangelism is concerned, and when you talked about, I wrote down the four things that we need. Everybody needs to be saved. We can't save ourselves. God has provided for our salvation and how to receive Jesus. I thank God. I had my notes, and I'm taking my notes and everything. Then when God dealt with me about this, there's a reason I'm not just rambling on. There's a point that God was bringing to me about this evangelism. When I first came into the Lord, because I loved him so much, my prayer has always been, Lord, what can I do to render to you for your good and goodness unto me? And he said we would take up that helmet of salvation. We'll take up his salvation. But in other words, we'll tell the world. My song in my life is, He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I found the Savior, and he's sweet, I know. So God began to be, as you said, he began to use me in the area as an evangelist in my home, and my son just called me. My son is 59, be 60. Anthony will be 60 in November the 18th, and he called me. He said, dear, they call me my dear, you know. He said, dear, He said, I can remember that day I came in, and I had a basketball in my hand. He said, I was on my way up those stairs, and he said, you hit me in my belly with your fist and said, in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. He said, my hands went up, and I went on speaking in other tongues. He tells that story everywhere he goes. He tells that story about, but they hit him in the stomach and said, receive the Holy Ghost. He said, he tells it everywhere he goes. I said, oh, Anthony, you know. And he was just saying, my dear, I thank God for praying. He said, for a praying mother. He was talking to me the other day. Now listen, the reason I bring this up is because I've been all over the world. I've been to Hawaii, Tokyo, Hong Kong, India, Germany, London, because of the goodness of God, Jesus' life on Calvary's cross. But I began to look at this thing, and I began to say, now, Lord, I look at Smith Wigglesworth. He didn't want one day to go by unless he led somebody to Jesus Christ. And so I was singing, and I began to, even though I'm praying for people, I'm gathering names. I have a whole lot of names. I'm watching television and any kind of HGTV program, House Hunters or House Hunter International. I'm praying for the people that are on there, for the people that they highlight. I pray for the realtor, the cast, and the crew of ones. And even when we look at other programs, well, we pray for the cast and the crew, but I still knew in my heart that God, what's important to him is he wants us to work while it is yet day. And so today in our reading, we're in the book of Luke now, in the reading through the Bible in a year. We're now in the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, this is the scripture that God always keeps before my face. And this is for people who are believers. You know, are we just here? Are we here to just take up room? God, it's important. Soul winning. More to he that won his soul is wise. But I also found out that with soul winning, there is longevity that is involved with it. We'll be saved now. Like you said, you know, no man can steal us out of his hand once we've been in him. But the thing about it is that when we cut our time short. So when I looked at that one in Luke 13:6-9, it says, I want to read that very quickly. It's just three verses. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree that he planted in his garden. He came looking for some fruit on it. He came looking for some fruit, but he found none. He had a servant who took care of his garden. So he said to his servant, I've been looking for fruit on this tree for 3 years, but I never find any. He said, cut it down. Why should it waste the ground? But the servant answered, Master, let the tree have one more year to produce fruit. Let me dig up the dirt around it and fertilize it. Maybe the tree will have fruit on it next year. If it still does not produce, then you cut it down. And that scripture is so important because the fruit that God looks for us is those souls, winning souls. He comes looking for souls. In the Amplified, that verse says, so he said to the vine dresser, he said, for these 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it continue also to use up the ground, to deplete the soil, intercept the sun, and take up room? Now, that just means so much. He said, but he replied, leave it alone, sir. Just one more year till I dig around it and put manure on the soil. And then when I got to verse 9, and this one in the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic Bible, he said, then perhaps it will bear fruit after this. But if not, you cut it down and out. First, I watched in my life in these 40-some years in ministry, and I watched that there have been ones that God was calling to do something, calling them to go forth that souls might be won unto himself. That he would continue to say, I have need of you for my service. And yet they would turn a deaf ear. And the first thing I began to see, they were cut down. He didn't cut them out all the way. He said, cut down. I would see where, because it doesn't, God doesn't do it, but the enemy will be able, it opens up a door for the enemy to come in and cut us down. You know, and then it says that you can cut it down and out. See, I would watch a little bit more, and it would be cut down, and then it would be cut out. I was talking, and I believe that this was my treasure last night, was a minister who has been, I haven't talked to in over 30-some years, dynamic man of God. But he refused to go into some things concerning, to go into even the social media. I can remember saying, I only want to have my friends and my family as friends on Facebook. And then the Lord said, and I can remember, Apostle, when God began to give you directives to me, it was something God was wanting me to do, and you said, maybe the Lord wants you to do it. Maybe God wants you to do it. And I think that's been a good 12 years ago when God had you inspired me to be able to do what God told me to do. And so in that process, I wanted to keep such a low profile. But there's such a white harvest field on Facebook, on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram. There are people that we can be able to reach. And so the man was being obstinate and contrary in some ways. This is what I said to him. I said, you will remember this day, because as I looked at my treasure map, and I believe that he had a tie. I had a blue tie. And so when I looked, I think, at one of his pictures, I really believe he called me. I said, what made you call me after all these many years? What made you come? I said, because I don't go for foolishness now. What you call me for after all these many years? And then the Lord began to minister to me, through me, to him, to say, look, don't let you have to stand before God. And God would say, I sent Helen to you to say, don't just block off about, and some people are very proud about that. And there's some obeying God. Maybe God has told some people, don't go on social media. He may have told them, don't even go on social media. But after these, more than, I've been on there now about 13 years. And in those 13 years, I have seen God reach souls, touch hearts, encourage people over these many years and the different venues that God would have. If you can't get out, you may say, I can't get out. I can't go anywhere and do, but we can even be there to win souls, even on social media. So I, when I hear that message of the evangelism, I take it very seriously, Apostle. I take this thing so seriously because I said, Lord, use me in your service. And what is his name? Dr. Martin Luther King said, if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then you crawl. If you can't crawl, but whatever you do, keep on going. Keep on moving. Even if it's just to tell somebody, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And this is the last one, Apostle. I was at a Chick-fil-A, and a man who was 80-some years old, he came and he said to me, I was walking by him, a white guy, He said, has anybody told you today, Jesus loves you? And I said, no. He said, well, I'm telling you today, Jesus loves you. And so when I got home, a graphic began to stir up in my spirit. It has been one of the most largest reached graphics that I ever did on the Pastor Helen E. Price page. Lord had me to make a graphic. Has anyone told you today, Jesus loves you? And it's thousands now. Thousands of people have viewed that particular thing, not just hundreds, thousands have viewed it, but because of that one man that turned around and said, has anyone told you today Jesus loves you? So I thank God for you, Apostle. I know I'm going kind of long, but I have because I believe that there are ones that God is saying. He said, just ask me for so, just desire, if you love me, because we love him. If he's been good, he has been good to us. He gave his precious only begotten son. And the only thing that's important, the one that's so important to him, is that others will come. He's not willing that one person would perish, but everyone would come to repentance. So I thank God for you, Apostle. Thank God for this replay. I know I may sound passionate. As I was younger, I was able to get out and go everywhere and go this and go in there. And I still, by the grace of God, am able to get out. And I just said, Lord, use me. And that's what I'm asking, not only for me, but for every person that listened to this evangelism boot camp, and even those that are on this line, and maybe later on, years from now, as you say, in 2055, 3000, if Jesus tarries to come, that God will use them in his service. And know how seriously he takes about ones that are just taking up the soil, eating up all God's good blessing, his air intercepting the sun, depleting the soil, and just taking up room. He said, using up the ground. And they'll just be able, those are ones that just come on out and many times just go on to be with the Lord. But we don't want to be that way. We want to say, Lord, use me in your service. So God bless you, Apostle. There you go. Now I'm through.
Thank you. Thank you for all the comments. And Thank you. Thank you for the word tonight. Amen. And before you go, can you please pray? Pray for people who have not led anyone to Jesus, or who have not led anyone to Jesus for a long time, or people who do not have that fruit yet. So pray for them.
Praise God. Father God, as I just come even today and we come and stand in prayer, Father God, you're such a loving and you're a kind and an awesome God. I thank you, Lord God, that as you've often said through Apostle about time with you, Lord God, a relationship with you. And that's what's going to cause us, Father, to be able to want to come and do for you, to go to do whatever you would. You've been so good to us, Father. You wake us up every morning, Lord God. You keep and protect us all throughout the day and throughout the night. You bless us with exceeding abundant blessings. And even more than that, you gave the very best that you had to give, which is your precious darling son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, for the hearts and minds of every man, woman, boy, and girl that may listen to this particular broadcast, both now and maybe later on, may their hearts, out of gratitude, Lord God, for your good and goodness, Lord God, be able to go and say, Lord, my hand is up. He asked in Isaiah, who will go for us? Who can we send? That their hands will go up and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Put that down in their spirit, because that's what you do. You shed love abroad in our heart. You give us the want to do right. You give us the want to be able, if not even all on us, but the want to. Because you even said here, don't leave it alone, dung it about for another year. You were giving it time. You were still giving that tree time to bear fruit. So give us the time, Father God. The opportunity, open the doors for each one that is listening, Lord. When we go out, whether it be to the grocery store, to the dentist, Lord God, whatever, to pay a bill, Lord God, that we'll step out of that house and say, Lord, and wherever we're going, say, Lord, use me in your service. Be glorified. That's the prayer you put down on the inside of me, Father God, is to be you be glorified, Lord God. Be glorified as we go out. Use us, Lord God, to plant your word in somebody's life. Use each one of us to water your word, and that you may give the increase. Help us to be. I know we want to take care of our business. We want to be business-minded and go in and quick and do that. But, Lord, we want to be able to say, Lord, even in the busyness of my day, Lord God, whatever it is that I'm doing, Lord God, be glorified by souls being won to you. So help each one of us, Father God. Help us, Lord God, that we may be used in your service. And I give you glory and I give you praise in advance for each one having a yes in their heart. Yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your service, Lord God. Yes. Yes, Lord. I hear people doing that right now, Apostle. Yes, Lord. Just say yes, Lord. Yes to your way. Use me, Lord, in your service. Yes, Lord. Here am I. Raise your hand. Somebody raise your hand and say, yes, Lord. I'll do your will.
Yes,
I'll do
Lord.
Your will. Here am I. Use me. Send me, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we give you thanks. I give you praise and honor and glory. And thank you, Lord God, for using us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, and I give you glory in Jesus' name. I turn it back over to you, Apostle. And God bless you. Thank you for that time. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I said yes to. Amen. I put my hand up to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. How much more can we glorify our God? Hallelujah. Minister Rachel, we're going to open up your line. Anyone else? We still have a little time here. You can press your number one key. Amen. We want to hear from you. Praise God. Praise God. Minister Rachel. Welcome.
Hi to
everyone.
Hi. Hi. I was going to say amen to everything that was said as I was listening.
Amen.
Very encouraging. And right, we got to be just continuously available for the Lord to shine through us. I know sometimes we get discouraged and stuff like that, but go on his word, it will be back on, he'll keep us encouraged as we stay in his word. I was watching this movie with Renasia. It says Prayer Never Fails. And it's about this young basketball coach, and he began to encourage his teammates. And because of the result of praying with them, he suffered some persecution and lost his job. But at the end, God restores back to him his job and then some. So he was just reading the word, got a little discouraged. And one of the scriptures that stand out, I can see it. I had paused the screen. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He also went into another scripture, and it was like those who was to suffer persecution, the Christians. The heading actually says, I should have went backwards because I think I'm going to paraphrase it because I passed that scene. That Christians we are going to suffer persecution, and he began to just get a little weary, but. Like I said, at the end, God bless him with victory. So at the end of everything that we're all going through, we're going to walk in that manifested victory that Jesus had promised. So I'm just going to hold on to that. So love each and every one of y'all, and may you keep us strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love you, too. Thank you so much for sharing. And I want to say something about you. I don't know. You're probably not the only one, but one of the few that I know that lead people to Christ on your voicemail. Hallelujah. And I think I'm thinking of the right person. So even on Minister Rachel's voicemail, I think she says John 3:16, you know, pray this prayer with me. And so people who are calling, solicitors or whatever have an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior from listening to her voicemail. So praise God for that. Amen. Just using everything that we have for the glory of God. Amen. God bless you, Minister Rachel. Amen. Amen. I don't see any other number one keys pressed. But I'm just going to go down a line, and I'm just so blessed to see all of you. Give a quick shout out to Reverend Treva, hallelujah, Evangelist Shirley, and Sister Janza, Minister Carrie, hallelujah. Shout out to Minister Camilla, praise God, Minister Kiva, hallelujah. Sister Debbie, and hi there, Sister Tammy. Good to see you on the line as well. And that might be Minister Tammy. I'm trying to remember. But God bless all of you. Just so good to see you. And before it gets too late, I know it's about time to go, but I wanted to say this first. Next Thursday, we're going into November. And November is Get 'Em Radio's 9th anniversary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I should have had my clapping ready for that. But glory to God. It's our 9th anniversary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, 9 years. It doesn't seem that long. And many of you have been with us from the beginning, from 9 years or at least even 7 or 8 years that you've been with us. And we praise God for you. So we're inviting you to be with us in the month of November. We have some wonderful speakers that will be here. I asked the Lord, you know, I said, you know, I asked him, you know, what do I want for the 9th anniversary? So we talked, and it's going to be all male speakers, hallelujah, because sometimes we'll have very many males here on Get 'Em Radio. So we have all male speakers that I really like all of them, hallelujah. They're all of them were like family, and three of them are. Hallelujah. And so the first one is going to be Bishop Aaron. If you've been with us before, you have heard Bishop Aaron. He has a wonderful prophetic gift. Hallelujah. And he's my brother. He's my brother in the spirit. We have another mother. But, yeah, so he's going to be with us on next Thursday. And then the Thursday after that, and that'll be November the 11th, we will have my nephew, who's a pastor, Pastor Will Coleman, dynamic man of God, who had a large church in Oklahoma. He was they call him the campus pastor of a large church in Oklahoma, and the Lord sent him back to St. Louis to pastor the church that his mom and dad planted years ago. And so he stepped out by faith and, he was at a church where he even had a house built, you know, just so much, you know, prosperity there in that church. And then the Lord sent him here to St. Louis. Hallelujah. Hey, and the prosperity hasn't stopped. We give God glory. So, and he's a dynamic man of God. There's just so much that God has done through him before he got here and now that he's here. Praise God. So we'll have him on the 11th. And then on the 18th, we have my brother-in-law, Minister Lenny Yarbrough, who's retired from a government job, but he's been a musician for all that time, for many years. We had him here. Him and Bishop Aaron were on our Sunday broadcast with the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We had both of them here on Father's Day. And so to have them, you know, to have him again on Thursday is going to be wonderful. So he will be playing the saxophone or the flute when he comes on. And he's going to be speaking as well. And he just wrote a book that's about to come out. So hopefully we can just chat about that a little bit as well. And then on Thanksgiving, we will have a new broadcast on Thanksgiving, and that will be my brother, same mother, same father, same Holy Ghost, amen, in the Lord. We'll have my brother, Pastor Herbert McCoy. And so he will be with us on Thanksgiving. And when I told him we were going to have a broadcast on Thanksgiving, he was like, I want to serve God on Thanksgiving. Give me Thanksgiving. That's what I want. And so I was like, wow, praise God. So I'm really looking forward to this and all that God is going to do. And I just want to invite any of you, okay? I don't know. I may text you or call you, but I want you to let me know if you would like to give a testimony. Those of you who've been with Get 'Em Radio for years and that the Lord has used us to touch your life in some way, you know, give us a testimony. Text me and let me know that you're available and, you know, give us a date. And we'll put you on to give us a testimony because we want to hear that as well during our anniversary. Hallelujah. To just even to kind of catalog that and put that in one place, because I know that God has been a blessing to you because you keep showing up. He keeps showing up and you keep showing up. Amen. And so, please, would love to just hear from you, your testimony. So let me know. okay? You're all invited. You guys are the special ones. Well, there's many special ones. But anyway, you're here tonight, and you're here for a reason, and you're staying, you're hanging with us even tonight. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. I'll tell you about the other other things that are going on. On this Sunday on the Get 'Em Radio, the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, we're going to have our guest church, which will be the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, where Pastor Helen Price is a senior pastor, and we'll also be hearing from Minister Joy and Minister Amber. They're all three be preaching on this Sunday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. On Monday, we'll have Lunch with Lorraine, our Bible teaching, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesday, we're back again with Praying in Tongues Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you what happened. Pastor Price, I didn't even get a chance to tell you this that happened. Tongues, we have volunteers, 4 volunteers, 15 minutes apiece, basically. And then we go into interpretation. After we had done that, a friend of mine, Dr. Leslie, came on the phone. And she said, you know, I don't know if this is good to ask this right now. She said, but there's a 3-year-old girl named Willow, and this is her pastor's granddaughter. And she was spiking a temperature of 105. They had diagnosed her with strep throat, and it was a UTI. And she had been really listless the past several days, not eating or anything, and it's high fever. And so the Lord led us to pray in tongues. And we opened up lines, and those who prayed in tongues earlier, and then other people were praying behind the scenes. And so we prayed in tongues for, I'd say maybe about 2-3 minutes, something like that. And then the Lord gave us an interpretation of even those tongues. What I was perceiving was the fever side of my body. It was just hot, just burning up. So I knew that God was working on that fever and taking the fever out. Pastor Catherine perceived that the fever was going away and the sore throat was going away. And then Evangelist Shirley, Sister Janza, and Pastor Catherine, and in 2 different places, got the same scripture, Luke chapter 8, where the little girl was being healed. And when she got healed, she ate. I believe Jesus said, get her something to eat. And so she ate after she got healed. Well, Dr. Leslie called me that same day, and said that little Willow, they went back to the timing of when we were praying in tongues, the fever completely left her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was completely healed, and she asked for something to eat. She said she was hungry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then last I heard, they were letting her out of the hospital. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So God is still doing miracles. Hallelujah. And I'm just, you know, just so blessed at just what God is doing. I mean, we did what we were led to do. We know it's all God, and we give God all the glory. And it's just so awesome to be used in his service. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So we're just having a great time on Tuesday. Hallelujah. Now, our Nat Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, Praying in Tongues Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, our next Wednesday broadcast will be November the 10th, Wednesday, November the 10th, and that will be our prophetic healing. And so, you know, just like little Willow was healed with us, with praying in tongues Tuesday, We've seen many get healed during prophetic healing. And we have Elder Philip Harkey and his wife, Minister Linda, with us. And more than anything, the Holy Ghost moves in a mighty way. So mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, November the 10th. Amen. I love my little niece who, what she does is she sets her cell phone alarm for whatever needs to be done. And when they were here taking care of Pastor Mom, my niece and my sister, while they were here, put her alarm on. So she would know this needs to be done with Pastor Mom at 7 o'clock. This needs to be done at 9 o'clock. Amen. Amen. So set your cell phone alarm. Praise the Lord. And as I said before, beginning on November the 4th, we will be celebrating Get 'Em Radio's 11th anniversary. So get in on it. I mean, you've been a part of us for many years. Get in on it. Text me, call me. Let me know that you want to give a testimony. You want to say what God has done for you on Get 'Em Radio. It doesn't have to be long. Don't feel like it has to be long or a doctoral dissertation. Just share. Just share from your heart. And we'll all be happy about that. Share what the Lord gives you to share. Amen. Amen. So praise God. We're going to go ahead and close out. I don't see anyone else with their number one key pressed. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to do this just for a moment, just for 1 minute. I'm opening up everybody's line. If you want to say anything, jump in. Jump in like Double Dutch. Amen. And
good evening. God bless you, Reverend Trevor. And I wanted to say I really enjoyed it. I only was able to hear 3 weeks, and I had sent you a text telling you that, but I really enjoyed the services. And God bless you. And I look forward to this November. God bless and have a great evening.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend. Praise God. You know we love you. Amen. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. As I said, Sister Tammy, it's always good to see you. Amen. All right. We're going to go
ahead
and close.
Good to hear you all, too. God bless you.
Amen. God
love
bless
you. I'm driving my husband home. God bless you all.
Amen. Love you too. Be safe. Angels all around and about you, traveling mercies. Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We honor you. We adore you. Thank you for all that you've done tonight, Lord God, and what you're about to do. We just feel a revving up in the Holy Ghost, and we thank you, Lord God. Father, for those people who just been staying with us and taking this time with you, Lord God, redeem this time for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we bless you and thank you, and may everyone be touched and have an awesome night's sleep. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.